Well, could we open our Bibles, please, to the book of Psalms? I think you all know by now, or most of you, what my text is for today. You may have got one of the little cards or the hymn that we sang, My Times Are in Thy Hand. And now we're turning to the psalm. That hymn is actually based on this psalm, Psalm number 31. As you turn to it, could I just remind you, please, of the ordination service on Friday, the 24th of January, God willing, 8 p.m., the ordination and installation of the Reverend Stewart as associate minister in this congregation. It is planned for that night. We want you to keep the night free. Mark it, please, in your diary and plan to be along. Make it known to others. There will be invitation cards available for you to use to invite folk to that special meeting. It is really a very historic meeting because the last time a man was ordained in relation to this congregation was the Reverend Beggs. Whenever I came, I already was ordained and was installed then, so it's quite a long time since there was an ordination of a minister, and that will be taking place on that Friday night. So it's a special night, an historic night, and we want you to really focus on it and pray about it and pray for the Lord's servant as he will be installed after his ordination on that evening as the associate minister of the congregation here. So remember it, please, and plan to be there. So we're going to read this psalm. I feel I need to read the psalm with you. It's a wonderful psalm, and we're going to read it together now, Psalm number 31. Before we read, let us pray. Let's ask the Lord's blessing upon his word. Our Heavenly Father, we thank thee for the opportunity to meet around the Word of God. And we ask, O Lord, that thy presence and power will be known as we come into the Scriptures and we consider the Word that thou hast given, even for this time, for another year that lies before us in the will of God. And so, Lord, give anointing to preach, give grace to hear. May the Lord Jesus be magnified, even as we continue now in thy presence. And may this word that thou hast given be riveted on our minds and be used by the Spirit of the Lord to give us guidance and direction even for our lives in another year. As you spare us, we pray this in Christ's name and for his sake. Amen. So Psalm number 31, let's hear God's word. In thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be ashamed. Deliver me in thy righteousness. Bow down thine ear to me. Deliver me speedily. Be thou my strong rock for an house of defence to save me. For thou art my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for thy name's sake, lead me and guide me. Pull me out of the net that they have laid privily for me. For thou art my strength. Into thine hand I commit my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord God of truth. I have hated them that regard lying vanities, but I trust in the Lord. I will be glad and rejoice in thy mercy, for thou hast considered my trouble. Thou hast known my soul in adversities, and hast not shut me up into the hand of the enemy. Thou hast set my feet in a large room. Have mercy upon me, O Lord, for I am in trouble. Mine eye is consumed with grief, yea, my soul and my belly. For my life is spent with grief and my years with sighing. My strength faileth because of mine iniquity, and my bones are consumed. I was a reproach among all mine enemies, but especially among my neighbors, and a fear to mine acquaintance. They that did see me without fled from me. I am forgotten as a dead man out of mind. I am like a broken vessel, for I have heard the slander of many. Fear was on every side. While they took counsel together against me, they devised to take away my life. But I trusted in thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my God. My times are in thy hand. Deliver me from the hand of mine enemies and from them that persecute me. Make thy face to shine upon thy servant. Save me for thy mercy's sake. Let me not be ashamed, O Lord, for I have called upon thee. Let the wicked be ashamed, and let them be silent in the grave. Let the lying lips be put to silence, which speak grievous things proudly and contemptuously against the righteous. O, how great is thy goodness, which thou hast laid up for them that fear thee, which thou hast wrought for them that trust in thee before the sons of men. Thou shalt hide them in the secret of thy presence from the pride of man. Thou shalt keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. Blessed be the Lord, for he hath showed me his marvelous kindness in a strong city. For I said in my haste, I am cut off from before thine eyes. Nevertheless, thou heardest the voice of my supplications when I cried unto thee. O, love the Lord, all ye his saints, for the Lord preserveth the faithful and plentifully rewardeth the proud doer. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart, all ye that hope in the Lord. And God will bless the reading of these verses, or this psalm, and we pray that it will be a powerful help to us as we consider our text today. It's found in verse number 15, where we have the opening words, "My times are in thy hand." And I wish to leave with you, as 2019 draws to a close and 2020 is soon to dawn in the will and purpose of God, these words as our motto text for this incoming year. These words, "My times are in thy hand." In a very definite sense, the words are central and they are pivotal to this entire psalm. They stand as the climax of all that David says in the earlier part of the psalm, leading up to verse 15, and they also provide the platform for what he goes on to say through to the psalm's conclusion. Notice that these words are in the form of a statement. "My times are in thy hand." This is not a request. It is not a plea, as is the case with so much of the material in this psalm that both precedes and follows our text. Furthermore, it's a statement of great confidence by a man of God who lived continually in the midst of adversity, as was stirred up against him by the enemies of God. But facing the hatred and the vehement opposition and the malice and the intimidation of evil men, David makes this statement, "My times are in thy hand." It's a statement that is marked by plurality. He refers to his times, not some single incident, but rather his focus is on the whole range of his life, on his entire experience with regard to its circumstances and the details and the events of his earthly life, his earthly experience. You see, a variety of times belong to each one of us. We speak of good times and bad times and joyful times and sorrowful times. We think of the words of Solomon in the book of Ecclesiastes, chapter 3, and in verse number 1. And he says, "To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven." And then he goes on to speak of 28 different times that pass over our lives and that we encounter during our earthly experience, a time to be born, a time to die, and on it goes down through the following verses. Now that list is by no means exhaustive, but it is certainly a reminder of the plurality that characterizes the times of mankind, and therefore of all of us in this fallen world. His statement reveals, however, that David saw his times not only in terms of plurality, but as being of a very personal nature, because he uses the pronoun "my" He does not speak, therefore, representatively or generally. He does not say our times. He's not speaking on behalf of others, really. Instead, his words are very, very personal because he refers to my times. He realized that as an individual, he had to deal with those issues of life that were personal to him. He saw that the events and the challenges that had occurred and would occur pertained to him specifically and very, very individually. They affected him in a personal manner, and he had to deal with them. He talks about, take his words, my times. And however, as we think about these words, he utters a statement here that really is very public in nature. Because while he uses the term my times, he was very aware that he was not living in isolation from his citizens. Remember, he speaks here as the king of Israel. He is the monarch of a realm. He is a man, therefore, who is a public figure, whose life, therefore, is under scrutiny, constant scrutiny by his subjects as well as his enemies. And of course, that is the case today always for those who occupy such an office, that is public office. And therefore, by the same reckoning, the believer should keep this in mind. Because as it says in Romans 14 and verse number 7, none of us liveth to himself. Privacy is a right, but only to a degree. Because every person's life and times have a public context. And therefore, every one of us is to recognize that as we encounter and live out our times that punctuate our lives, we affect others continually. You do not go through your times and not make an impact somehow or other, or have a bearing somehow or other upon other people around you. And we must always remember that. And David remembers this, because while he speaks of his own times, he realizes that his times that he is living out and all that he is in those times is going to have a bearing upon other people. And so we could think much about this statement from all these different angles. But let me say to you that the prominent point in this text, my times are in thy hand, is David's recognition that his whole experience and life was in the hands of his God. For he says, my times are in thy hands. My times are in thy hand. And those are words that we would need to notice and consider as the Lord has brought them before us for a modern text for another year. Here is a truth that needs to be noted and needs to be learned by all of us. It is a truth that addresses the question of how we as sinful, mortal, and weak individuals, for that's all we are from a human perspective, will contend with the times that we are going to encounter during another year as the Lord spares us and as the Lord gives to us opportunity. The times or the experiences of this year are almost ended. And in so many cases, the times that we have come through are a reminder to us, a sharp reminder to us of our many failures. We cannot look back on 2019 and say that we have done well, because so much failure has marked our lives and our experiences, and especially for the Christian, our walk with God. And standing on the threshold of a new year, its paths are uncharted as far as we're concerned. They're unknown as far as we are concerned. And therefore, wisdom would move us to recognize that we're unfit in ourselves to deal with the times that the coming year has for us, or that lie before us, that this year about to dawn has the potential to usher in upon us. And the question is, well, how are we going to cope? Well, there's a question that often is asked by many of us. How are we going to cope with the days ahead, with the times that unfold, with the experience that that time brings? How are we going to do? What will we find? Will we find ourselves utterly overwhelmed? How do we cope with times that come, that roll over our heads, that come one after the other? Well, the answer lies in this text. It contains a message that enables us to encounter the new year with the times that we will have to face. And today I want us to understand the message of this model text for 2020 and be moved by it to live in confidence in our blessed God. That's really what the verse, or these words, the part of the verse we're looking at, that's really what they're all about. My times are in thy hand. These are words that are designed to instill confidence into our souls and stir up our hearts as we face another year. So let's look at them today and have that message brought home to us, a message, I believe, that is brimful of confidence for the future with regard to what David says in this remarkable little statement. My times are in thy hand. First of all, security. That's where we want to begin. Because there's a strong note and flavor of security in these words. Now, as the psalm reveals, and as we will see a lot today, by the Lord's help, David's times were marked by a lot of adversity. But at this climactic point in this psalm, he utters a statement that does underline the concept of security, this security of knowing that his times were in the hand of God. Now, there was a basis for that security that we need to observe and really understand clearly. Because already in the psalm, David has spoken, has written of the hand of his God. And we're going to look at that particular line in a moment. But as we look at it, we will find that we have there the basis of this message of security. My times are in thy hand. Now, what am I talking about? We'll go back to verse number 5. And here again, he speaks of the hand of God. He says, into thine hand I commit my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord God of truth. Here's a verse that's an example of what is called parallelism. The book of Psalms is Hebrew poetry. And in Hebrew poetry, there's a very striking feature that is the feature of parallelism. And if you look here, you will see parallel truths. He says, into thine hand I commit my spirit. And then he says, thou hast redeemed me, O Lord God of truth. So in part A, he speaks of committing his spirit into the Lord's hand. And in part B of verse 5, he shows that he does so as one who has been redeemed. Now, brethren and sisters, the basis of David's security, or the sense of security in verse 15, my times are in thy hand, is found here in verse 5, because he's really saying that he's in God's hand already because of redemption. And so his times are secure because he is a redeemed soul. He says, into thy hand I commit my spirit. Thou hast redeemed me, O Lord God of truth. The word redeemed there is one of a number of Hebrew words in the Old Testament frequently employed. And the first time this particular word is used in the Old Testament is in Exodus 13, verse 13. A most interesting verse, but it does speak of redemption. I want to read the verse with you. If you want to look it up, that's fine. But Exodus 13, verse 13. Now listen to what the verse says, because it is a very striking verse. Every firstling of an ass thou shalt redeem with a lamb. And if thou wilt not redeem it, then thou shalt break his neck. And all the firstborn of man among thy children shalt thou redeem. And here we have got a statement in which we read of the firstling of an ass and then the firstborn of man. And they are brought together. And they're brought together here within the context of redemption. You see, an ass, according to Jewish ceremonial law, was an unclean animal. It was never used in sacrifice. It was used only for labor and for work. It was counted, therefore, an unclean animal. But here the ass is parallel. Let's put it another way. Here is man, the firstborn of man, and he's paralleled with this unclean creature. Why is that? Because man is unclean. Man's a fallen sinner. And how humbling it is for man to be paralleled with a donkey. I know a lot of people around in the world today, and perhaps the parallel stands out quite vividly for many reasons. But in this case, it's because the ass was an unclean creature. And you see, men are unclean, spiritually speaking, and they need to be redeemed. But that little ass, that colt of the ass, was not redeemed with the blood of a lamb. Then it was destroyed. Do you remember the donkey on which the Lord rode into Jerusalem? That was the colt of an ass. And for it to have survived, it must have been redeemed. And so the parallel begins to broaden out a bit. When God redeems men who are unclean and fallen in themselves, then he makes something of them. And he begins to use them for his glory. And just like the unclean ass whose life was spared because of the blood of the Lamb, so sinners like you and me have been spared. And remember, God equates us with the donkey. We haven't much to be proud of, have we? In fact, nothing. But he has redeemed us by the blood of his own dear Son. And as we see the first place where this particular word for redeem is used, we see a remarkable truth coming out. And when David says, "Into thy hand I commit my spirit, thou hast redeemed me," he's able to go on then and say, "My times are in thy hand." You see, when we are redeemed, everything about us is in the hands of God, including our times and all that they bring. They're all then in God's hand. You see, you who are not saved, you cannot say this. My times are in the Lord's hands, in terms of the comfort and the security that such words bring to the Christian, because you're not redeemed. You're still in the state of uncleanness and sin and a fallen nature. And therefore, your times in this sense are not in God's hand. You cannot feel secure. You should not feel secure. Because all is not well with you at all. And so here we notice very, very clearly the basis for this security. My times are in thy hand. And you see, on the basis of redemption, sinful men are united with Jesus Christ and therefore are placed into the hand of God. Have you ever thought about God's hand? Have you ever thought about the hand of the Lord Jesus? To any degree, to any detail, let me take you to John 10. And we're all familiar, well, I should perhaps not say all, but many of us are familiar, and I trust that we'll all be more familiar with such statements that we have here in John 10. You know the great statement in verse 11, because it also deals with redemption. I am the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. There's redemption through the Lamb by the shedding of his blood. And then we go on to read of that great Redeemer in verse 28, and here's what he says to his people: I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. Do you notice the connection? He says in verse 11, I have given my life for the sheep. That's redemption. And now in verse 28, he tells us again, we're in the hand that redeems us, the hand that was pierced for us, the hand that shed the blood of redemption for us. We're now in that hand. And look at verse number 29. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. And so we have a double security here. Because when we are redeemed by Christ, then we are in his hand, but he gives us into the Father's hand through our union with Christ. And so we're in God the Father's hand as well as the hand of God the Son. The fascinating thing is this. The words of Psalm 31:5, "Into thine hand I commit my spirit," are the very words that our Redeemer used when he was dying. Do you remember them? The last words of the Lord Jesus before he gave up the ghost. He quoted this verse, "Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit." Now think about that carefully with me, because I have said they are the last words, the final cry of our Redeemer. And so as he accomplished redemption for his people, he committed himself and all in union with him into the Father's hand. And so, through union with Jesus Christ, our Redeemer, we find ourselves in the hand of God. Going back to the psalm, this matter of the security, this part of the message that's in this wonderful text, "My times are in thy hand," this matter of the believer's security means that all his times are in the hand of God because of redemption. Don't forget that. Your times are not in God's hand because you're wise or because you've got some control over life or because you've got power or whatever you care to mention. No, no, not at all. The only reason why the times of a Christian are in the hand of God is because of redemption. Redemption covers everything with regard to our relationship with God. We'd have no relationship with him. We could not speak in this secure fashion, "Lord, my times are in thy hand," except for the fact of the redemptive work of our Lord Jesus Christ. And therefore, security in all the times that lie before us in a new year, as God spares us, that security must be traced back to the cross, back to the redemptive work of our Lord Jesus. Now, in this psalm, you will find that David refers to the enemy's hand. Look at verse number 8. He speaks there of the hand of the enemy. But do you notice the verse where our text lies, how it goes on? Verse 15. Let's read it as a whole now. "My times are in thy hand." Then he says immediately, "Deliver me from the hand of mine enemies." There's a contrast drawn between God's hand and the hand of the enemies of David. So he speaks of the enemy's hand in this psalm. He does so in various ways, not only directly, like verse 8 or verse number 15b, but for example in verse number 4, notice what it says there, "Pull me out of the net that they have laid privily for me." Oh, David thinks about his enemies and their hands again, laying a net for him in a secret way, privily, privately, doing it behind the scenes, hoping that he'd fall into that net. And therefore, you got the hand of the enemy in verse number 8. And then again in the psalm, there are a lot of indirect references to the hand of God. This is important. Look with me at them, and you will notice that these references actually in turn indirectly infer the working of the hands of his enemies. Look at verse 2. This is important for you and me to see. "Bow down thine ear to me. Deliver me speedily." Notice that. "Deliver me speedily." That's the hand of God delivering David. But that little statement, or that little request rather, "deliver me speedily," infers that the hand of the enemy is against him. Or verse number 3, "Thou art my rock and my fortress, therefore for thy name's sake, lead me, guide me." There's God's hand again, because David's walking in the midst of his enemies. Or verse number 4, "Pull me out of the net that they've laid privily for me." You can see both hands there. The hand of the enemy laying the net, and then the hand of God plucking David out of that net. And you can go through the whole psalm and you will see this. There's much focus in the psalm about the hand of evil men, but there's much focus in this psalm on the hand of God also. And then it climaxes in our text and its message of security because of redemption. My dear friend, the message is very, very clear. The redeemed of the Lord are secure from the malicious agenda of the enemy at all times, Even in the final conflict with death itself, God's people's times are in the hand of God. There's security there. They're a redeemed people. And even though the hand of the devil and the hand of the wicked and the hand of the ungodly across the face of the earth are operating, those hands are operating and they're scheming and they're planning and they're writing down their agenda and they're following out their agenda. Even though that is all true, you and I can move into the future with a very real feeling of security and confidence, because every Christian is a redeemed person, and therefore every Christian's times are in the hand of God. Do you remember, I just mentioned there, even when it comes to death. Do you remember who also quoted, or at least alluded to, the words in verse 5, "Into thy hands I commit my spirit"? It was Stephen. When Stephen was dying, Acts 7:59, he used the same language, really, by virtue of his union with Christ, and in his dying minutes, as he faced the rage of Satan, that he, the great murderer, was venting through his emissaries. Here were Stephen's final words just about, Acts 7:59, "And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God." That is, Stephen was calling upon God and saying, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." There's not one of us who knows today what 2020 will bring to us, do we? It may bring my death. It may bring your death. Because none of us know what a day will bring forth. Now there's the last great enemy. And the Bible calls death the last enemy that every one of us has to face. But for the child of God, as we look at Stephen and we hear his words, "Into thy Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." He was thinking about what the Lord said at the cross. And he was thinking about what David says here, because David is facing death in this psalm. The hand of the enemy is against him to destroy him. But I can say, "My times are in thy hand." And so can you, whatever 2020 will bring. My dear friend, my brother, my sister, focus much on your redemption in Jesus Christ and the security that it gives you, because your times are in God's hand through the redemption that's in Christ Jesus, and that is security. Secondly, these words ring with serenity. Someone who's serene is speaking here. Someone who's got peace, in other words. "My times are in thy hand." And here's the serenity or the peace that David had as he faced all that was rolling over him and surrounding him and all that he was experiencing. And so, since the redeemed are in God's hand, then everything else about them is in God's hands, as I've already said. And that means they can face adversity and trouble and problems and trials with this serenity that's found in these words. This is what we see especially in this text. These words, "My times are in thy hand," were spoken by David, not in some general context, but in the context of his suffering and his affliction and his trial. And while all the times of the believer are in God's hands, and that's true, all the times of the Christian are in God's hands. We've already seen the words are plural, "my times." But while that is true, it's especially the matter of adversity and trial and difficulty that is in view here in this psalm. Oh, I say to you today, is it not the fact that many of you have come through 2019 and you've experienced very painful adversity? And your heart is still broken. And your heart is still heavy. And even going back beyond 2019, there are people sitting here today in this congregation And their hearts were broken years ago with some event, some tragedy, as we call things. And you have never gotten over it. And in many ways, you never will until you get to glory. That's true of life. And who knows what 2020 will bring? There may be some of you who will have to go through a fiery trial. As Peter puts it in 1 Peter. He's talking to people there about their present difficulties, and then he goes on to remind them in a later chapter and verse in 1 Peter of the fiery trial which is to try you. And let me say from this pulpit today, the Church of Jesus Christ is going to face fiery trial. All the signs are adding up and indeed multiplying to make that absolutely clear. Fiery trials are on the way for the people of God. How can we cope with such times? How can we have this serenity that David has here when he says, "My times are in thy hand"? How come he had the peace of God? Because peace rings through these words. Well, he had serenity because all was under divine control. Again, I draw to your attention how the text proceeds. My times are in thy hand. Deliver me from the hand of mine enemies. And what is he speaking about there? He's speaking about divine control. And since David was in God's hands, therefore the hands of his enemies were actually powerless to do anything against him unless God allowed it. And if God wills, David can pray here, "Lord, if it's your will, you can deliver me out of the hand of mine enemies altogether." And how often God did that for David. You remember David's life story from the very time that he was marked out to be God's man, the future king of Israel. Saul never stopped chasing him and didn't cease until he, Saul himself, was dead. Because in Saul's heart there rose up a jealousy and a hatred with regard to the anointed of the Lord. And he chased him, as the scripture rightly says, like a flea upon the mountains, from one place to another. Absalom's own son rose up against him. Many from within his own context of life and his own family circle. There's his father-in-law, Saul. There's his son, Absalom. And they rise up against him and they come after him. They seek to destroy him. They conspire. But here's a man who realizes that everything is under the control of Almighty God. And my friend, that is true. Since we're in the hands of God, therefore the hands of his enemies are powerless unless to do anything against us, unless God allows it. And God sometimes does allow it to happen. Look with me at verses 7 and 8. He says this, "I will be glad and rejoice in thy mercy, for thou hast considered my trouble. Thou hast known my soul in adversities and hast not shut me up into the hand of the enemy. Thou hast set my feet in a large room." There are two verses that ring with the idea, the concept of control. Control in David's life when the enemies are raging against him. Look at verse number 11 through to 13. "I was a reproach among all mine enemies, but especially among my neighbors, and a fear to mine acquaintance. They that did see me without fled from me. I am forgotten as a dead man out of mind. I am like a broken vessel. I've heard the slander of many. Fear was on every side. They took counsel together against me. They devised to take away my life." Now you couldn't get worse than that, perhaps. He's surrounded with those whose plans and whose schemes are concerted together to destroy the man of God. But look at his response in verse 14. "But I trusted in thee, O Lord. I said, thou art my God. My times are in thy hand." And so to have our times in God's hand means that those times are at His disposal and arranged by divine wisdom that never errs. Oh, this is where we fail, you see. This is where we got to apply this to ourselves. Is this not where we all fail? So often, so frequently, the trials come, the difficulties arise. The very things that David talks about here, sometimes we have to experience them in the midst of our families and acquaintances who don't understand why we're Christians, who don't want anything to do with Christianity. And they speak against us and they will revile us. Or even among the Lord's people, rising up against one another, acting foolishly. All these things come when they take place. But we've got to get back to this. My times are in thy hand. And therefore, when times of adversity come, when times of trial appear and they develop and they grow, we've got to realize this is also within the hand of God. My friend, from the least to the greatest, all things are ordered by God. But that means that all His attributes are at work to bring about what He has purposed for us to do in this life. And so His serenity was because all was under divine control, and His serenity was because all was under divine care. Go through the verses again. I haven't time really to go through them with you. Read these verses carefully and you will find that when we're in the hand of God, that means we're intimately close to the Lord and we're under His care. And therefore, look into the year ahead and not only remember that God's in control, but God cares for you. How vital that is. The psalmist says elsewhere, no man cared for my soul. That's how he felt. That's what he said. But he realized that the Lord cared for him. And David's doing the very same here. As I say, the verses make it absolutely clear. You can read these verses again and again and again, and you will see divine control and you will see divine care. And that explains why David has this serenity. Then he was serene, he was peaceful, because everything was under divine counsel. Divine counsel. David knew that his times were in God's hands. Therefore, he was not looking for counsel to men. Now, go back to verse 6. I want you to look at this verse carefully because it's a very relevant verse for our day and times. David says, I've hid at them that regard lying vanities, but I trust in the Lord. Therefore, you can want to say, my times are in thy hand. Because verse 6 is speaking of divine counsel. Now, the first part of the verse, again, is a parallel kind of a verse. I've hid at them that regard lying vanities. The first part of the verse talks about those who regard lying vanities. Now, what is that? Quite simply, it's a reference to idolatry. And more especially, it's a reference to the occult. To astrology. Let me tell you something. The occult is very much that to which men are looking today to find counsel and guidance. You might say, no, that's the Dark Ages you're talking about. No, I'm not. I know it took place in the Dark Ages. But it would surprise you if you only knew. And sometimes we do hear little snippets of information that tell us about world leaders and governments. And they are looking to the unseen world for some kind of guidance and direction for their agendas again, for their plans and their purposes, how to run their governments. This is going on in this world. We live in a fallen world. We live in a pagan world. We live in a world that is under the control of the powers of darkness, where men regard lying vanities. And that is why the world's in chaos. That is why governments don't know what they're doing, really. So what does David say in that context? He says in this sixth verse, but I trust in the Lord. Let me say to you today, David's expressing here his abhorrence of those who trust in the world of the occult. He says, I have hated them that regard lying vanities. That's a world that the Christian should hate. That's a world that the believer should have nothing to do with. The world of the occult. Young people, be very careful. Be careful at school. Be careful with friends who will try to induce you into following out some kind of a seance and coming together with them in some darkened room and a glass on the table and all this devilish activity. But that's exactly what it is. Young people, beware. That's the world in which we're living. That's where men are going. That's where the youth of our day and times are going. And there's nothing but tragedy and heartache and broken homes and broken lives as a result, and death and destruction. But David says, my counsel is with the Lord. He says, but I trust in the Lord. Therefore he can say, my times are in thy hand. He's serene. While the storm rages round him, when the winds are still blowing and the adversity is still rising, he says, I'm quite at peace because my times are in thy hand. The redeemed man, his security, his serenity. But then you know, as I close, and this is just a final closing word, in these words we have solemnity. It's the solemnity that the times of every man are in God's hands, because while these are very specific words speaking in particular with regard to David's own life and experience as a man of God and what he was facing, yet they are words that we might broaden out in closing today and simply say that for saved and unsaved alike, your times are in God's hand. Now for the Christian, that is very solemn. Because for the believer, it's solemn in that every child of God here today needs to be a good steward of the time that God gives you. Remember what our Savior said on that occasion when he went on to heal the man who was born blind in John 9. He said this, I must work the works of him that sent me. While it is day, the night cometh when no man can work. Now there are words that bring out the solemnity of such a statement as this. My times are in thy hand. Yes, that's absolutely true. But the times that David talks about are the times that you are living out in your life. Year after year. Here we are at the end of another year. Child of God, is there not a solemnity about this? Look back over this year and just ask yourself, how much of the year that God gave you were you like Jesus Christ, where it says, where he says, I must work the works of him that sent me, for the night cometh when no man can work. Our own, all of our hearts as believers should be rebuked with this. How solemn this is. We're thinking about the words of Paul in Romans 12, verse 11. And Paul says this to the Christian, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Now, the business in that verse is not material business. It's not the world of economy out there. It's not your occupation, whatever it might be, whatever scale of things you do with regard to making a living. It's had nothing to do with it. When David or Paul says, not slothful in business, he's talking about God's business. And the very word business there is a word that signifies being busy. Being busy for God. That's why it goes on to say, fervent in spirit. And then the next part of the verse, serving the Lord, is one whole statement. Not slothful in God's business. Rather fervent in your spirit. Serving the Lord. Men and women were stewards of the times that are in God's hand to such a degree. oh yes, he's in control and so forth. But we're the ones who are given the times to live out. The hours, the minutes, the seconds of every day. Oh, we hang our heads in shame as we think about 2019. That is, how much time we wasted with regard to the things of God. And on the other hand, how much time we used with regard to the things of the world. And the things that are perhaps legitimate in their own place, yes, that's fine. But Paul's emphasizing a priority. And it comes out of David's statement, "My times are in thy hand. Lord, I want to be in your hand and everything about me, because I realize that my life's sandglass is running out. And soon it will come to its last drop." The Lord says in Ecclesiastes, "Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all your might, because the grave's coming. Opportunity will be gone." Now, this is not a guilt trip I'm putting you on. I'm simply preaching what the Bible teaches in relation to this whole matter of our times in God's hand. God has given you time, Christian. Endeavor that throughout the year ahead, your whole approach to the use of your time for God will change. And that I will be the same. Because we all fail. That's how solemn these words are. But they're also solemn for the unsaved. Because for those in this gathering who are yet in their sin, your times are in God's hand in the sense that you're his creature. And you're hurtling to eternity. And your little day will soon be over. And time will be no more for you. And therefore, what you need to do, even on the last Sunday of this year, is what God tells you to do in, for example, Isaiah 55. "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near, because time is running out, and soon you'll be in God's eternity. May you hear his voice. May there be a soul here today who will bow before God and repent of sin and get to Christ. A backslider here today who has wasted time that can't even be counted. And you need to get right with God. Why not today? It's time to seek the Lord. May the solemnity of these words grip your soul. Let us bow in prayer. Let's commit the outcome of the meeting unto God's hands. And our Heavenly Father, we pray that thy blessed Spirit will apply the truth to every soul. We pray that he will use it for the glory of Christ. O Lord, come and have thy way in our lives. Help us to rest in thy hand. Help us to place ourselves there, as it were, every day, and looking for the hand of God to be on us and to be with us. O Lord, we thank thee that we're in thy hand through redemption. But O Lord, let us not stray. Let us not grow careless. Let us not grow weary in well-doing. But O Lord, may we press onwards under thy control and care and counsel until the day comes when our work is done and we go home to see the Lord. Lord, stir up our hearts. Stir us up to pray more. Stir us up to give ourselves unto God with all of our being. Save the lost. Show them the urgency of the matter. And draw them to yourself. Hear prayer, O God, we pray of thee. We ask it all in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen.